ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य गणाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखां करोति वाचलं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतरणम्. So, since today is the appearance day of the most merciful Lord Nityananda, we have chanted this bhajan, and there are many other bhajans that we can chant also, and we have chanted earlier today in glorification of Lord Nityananda. This bhajan speaks about the mercy. How Lord Nityananda is a very merciful personality. So, as is appropriate on the appearance day of the Supreme Lord, we will discuss a little bit about who is Lord Nityananda. And I'm sure others who will be speaking this evening will also discuss various subjects in relationship to Lord Nityananda, including many of his pastimes, as I'm sure which we'll also hear. But I thought we could start first a little bit by speaking about who is Nityananda. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami cites a very interesting verse, as we have here before us, the Panchatattva. He says, Panchatattva eka vastu nahi kichu veda, rasa asvadite tabu vivida vibeda. He says that spiritually, there is no difference between these five tattvas, because on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. Yet there are varieties in the spiritual world, and in order to taste these spiritual varieties, one must distinguish between them. Very important to understand. We were having a discussion about this subject matter actually last night, which went quite late into the evening, about spiritual varieties in the spiritual world. And here in this verse, Krishna Tathagaraj Goswami is establishing how in the spiritual world there is unlimited variety. Panchatattva, these five truths, eka vastu. Eka means one, vastu. Vastu is actually translated, it's a Sanskrit word which comes from the word vas, which means to exist or to dwell. And when you add the word tu, it becomes a noun, which means that which has existence or that which is self-evident. Vastu. So, there are two types of vastu. There is vastava vastu and avastava vastu. Vastava vastu is reality. It's described as the abiding substance, truthful abiding substance. It's a transcendental reality. And it's eternal. It's that which exists. Whereas avastava vastu is described as temporary. It's existence which sometimes is real, sometimes it's unreal. Such as gross matter, qualities, things like that in the material world. But vastu, this word interesting is being used, panchatattva, eka vastu, what it means, eka vastu means that the panchatattva, on the transcendental platform, they're all grounded in transcendence. They're all eternal. Therefore, they're on the same platform. Sometimes people will think, of course, that it's all one. But actually, no, there is variety in the spiritual world. In fact, in the next verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this variety. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam, Bhaktarupa Svarupakam, Bhaktavaram, Bhaktavataram, Bhaktakyam, Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. I offer my obeisances unto Krishna, who has manifested himself in five: as the devotee, the expansion of the devotee, the incarnation of the devotee, the pure devotee, and devotional energy. So Krishna has manifested himself in these five features. So someone may say, well, actually, ultimately, everything is just simply Krishna. But we understand that although ultimately Krishna is the source of everything, as we were trying to explain last night in our discussion, that Lord Chaitanya came to teach us the Achincha Bheda Abheda Tattva, inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes Pancha Tattva Eka Vastu Nahi Kichu Bheda. Nahi Kichu Bheda means on the absolute platform, on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. That means everything is eternal substance, the reality of the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Gadadhar, Advaitara, Acharya, Shivas, they're eternal personalities, eternally manifest. One should never think that they are never at any time not manifest. But they're all, ekavastu means they're all on the same transcendental platform, absolute platform. They are the reality. And sometimes we may say, well, the variety, the impersonalists, they try to say that when there's variety, it's due to various material objects. Right? But they say that ultimately everything is one. But this is not what Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying. He says, rasa asvidete, which means to taste ras. In order to taste ras, because there's varieties in the spiritual world, one has to distinguish. Otherwise, where's your question of rasa? Where's your question of relationship? What is that relationship that exists between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda? There is a relationship that exists, although they're both the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, it is described that just as Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from Him comes the first expansion. Krishna is Swayam Rupa. And from Swayam Rupa comes Swayam Prakash. And was it Swayam Prakash and Swayam Vaibhava. And then there's further expanse into Vaibhava Prakash and to Prabhava Prakash. Prabhava Prakash is a further expansion, which is Krishna when he expands and manifests himself just like he expanded many times between the gopis. But they're all Krishna. But Krishna further expands in what is called the Vaibhava Prakash, which is there's some difference in. There's a slight difference. Krishna, when he expands into Lord Balaram, there's a slight difference. Krishna has Gopavesh, Lord Balaram has Gopavesh. Krishna plays a flute, Lord Balaram plays a buffalo horn. There's a slight difference. Krishna is black, Lord Balaram is whitish complexion. But practically they are the same. But there's a difference in Abhiman. Very, very important. Krishna never thinks he's a servant of Krishna. But Balaram always thinks, I'm a servant of Krishna. That is the difference. Krishna doesn't think I'm a servant of Krishna. But Balaram thinks, always, that's his Abhiman. His conception is that I am always a servant of Krishna. And therefore he serves Krishna in varieties of ways. He serves Krishna in the various expansions from Balaram. Comes the Mula Sankarshan, then the Maha Sankarshan, and then as Ananta Shesha, Mahavishnu in the material world, as the Mula Sankarshan, Lord Balaram, he serves Krishna by manifesting the entire Dham, the spiritual world. It's all coming from him. Everything that has form, has substance in the spiritual world, actually it's all coming from Lord Balaram. So the Lord can actually experience unlimited pleasure pastimes. Lord Balaram is all this expanse of the unlimited spiritual world is coming from Lord Balaram to serve Krishna for his enjoyment. That is how he is serving Krishna in that way. That Lord Balaram is not different. Lord Nityananda is not different than Lord Balaram. He is the same personality. Come to again, but his meditation is, I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Balaram serves Krishna in the spiritual world by manifesting the spiritual world. He serves it in Dwarka by manifesting actually all of Dwarka, the personalities who are serving Krishna in Dwarka. They're all coming from Mula Sankarshan and from the Maha Sankarshan. Is coming the entire Vaikuntha expanse of the Vaikuntha planets and everything else that exists there. And of course from Mahavishnu. Coming everything, all the different Purusha avatars are coming from Mahavishnu. They're all simply expansions coming from Lord Balaram. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. How the Lord Nityananda, he serves Krishna by manifesting his Dham. Manifesting his Dham. Actually, he becomes Krishna's shoes. He becomes Krishna's bedstead. He becomes Krishna's sacred thread. That is how he serves in his form of Shesha. Everything that's left is served by Shesha, Ananta Shesha, in the cosmic manifestation. All the unlimited universes, they're all resting on the head of Ananta Shesha. And he's serving the Supreme Lord in that way, in the material universes. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he explains that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that all the unlimited universes are resting on the head of Ananta Shesha. But Ananta Shesha is not resting on anything. Try to imagine this. Therefore, Ananta Shesha, of course, is Balaram. He is the source of all spiritual strength. Because he can hold on his hoods unlimited universes without standing on anything. Can you do that? You cannot even hold your body. But he holds unlimited universes on his head without standing on anything. So he is the source of all spiritual strength. And Prabhupada says, actually, therefore, Lord Balaram, he is the original spiritual master and he is the source of all spiritual strength. And similarly, Lord Nityananda, he is also the same personality, the original spiritual master. And he serves Lord Chaitanya because he serves Lord Chaitanya by spreading, by canvassing, going out, telling everybody who his worshipful Lord is, because he's absorbed in service to Lord Chaitanya. He's thinking, what is that verse? Bhaja Goranga, Kaha Goranga, Laha Gorangera Nama. That Lord Nityananda goes out and he petitions. He says, please, just worship Goranga. Always speak about Goranga. And always take the holy name of Goranga in your heart with complete devotion. Whoever adores my worshipful master, Goranga, he is more dear to me than my own life. This is Nityananda's prayer as he goes out canvassing on the streets. Lord Nityananda is Lord Chaitanya's primary agent to go out and to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. And he serves Lord Chaitanya's mission in that way by going out. And just as Lord Chaitanya, he spoke to Lord Nityananda and he told him, please, you go and you tell everybody. You go to Bengal, you make everyone Vaishnavas. Why are you staying here in Puri? Actually, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains in Chaitanya Bhagavat that previously Lord Nityananda, he appeared of course in Ekachakra. He was the son of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. And he had his childhood pastimes in Ekachakra with his many friends, and he was always displaying very wonderful pastimes with his friends, always playing and enacting the pastimes of Krishna. He knows all the pastimes of Krishna perfectly, playing with all of his friends, pastimes of Krishna, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So he stayed at home in the house of Hadai Pandit until the age of 12. And then at one time a sannyasi came to the home of Hadai Pandit And Hadai Pandit received him as he'd received any saintly person, accepted him within his home. And he took it as his duty to render service, to ask him anything, with fulfill any of his desires. And the sannyasi, he asked, I am going to travel places of pilgrimage. So he requested, please, I would like to have your eldest son, Nityananda. Actually, it was his only son, wasn't it? No. Huh? And when Hadai Pandit heard this, of course, it was devastating. But still he went, he spoke to Padmavati. He said, what can I do? It is my duty. I must accept the request of the sannyasi. He's come and he's asked for my son to become his servant. And Padmavati said, whatever you decide, I must accept. And Hadai Pandit realized he had to offer. So he went back and he gave him his son. And then Lord Nityananda, he traveled on pilgrimage to the age of 20. Traveled for many years and went to many sacred places. But Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that although he traveled for many years to so many sacred places, he did not begin. He did not yet begin spreading the mission of his worshipful Lord, although he certainly knew what it was. Why? Because he wanted the way to get the order. Therefore he waited till when he went to the house of Nandanacharya and he met Lord Chaitanya there in Navadvip. And then later, when he received the order, having taken that order as his life and soul, Lord Chaitanya, he told them to go out and to give everyone, right? Tell everyone you meet to worship Krishna, to chant Krishna's names. But Lord Nityananda, he was so much absorbed in the mood of service to Lord Chaitanya that he would go out and he would beg everyone, simply please chant the names of Gauranga. He was thinking that, yes, more Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. He was thinking that if I can somehow or other deliver them to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, certainly he will be merciful to them. And therefore, it's described that Lord Nityananda, he sometimes did something that even Lord Chaitanya himself could not do. Prabhupada writes about that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That what Lord Chaitanya could not do by his deliverance of Jagai and Madhai, Nityananda did. Why? Because Nityananda, he understood the purpose of Lord Chaitanya. And although Lord Chaitanya did not deliver them, he wanted to punish them for causing pain upon Lord Nityananda. Still, Lord Nityananda, by his desire to have them delivered, he begged Lord Chaitanya, please, to be merciful to them. You are the most merciful incarnation. You've descended in this world. If you do not deliver this, if you do not deliver these two personalities, then who? How will they possibly be delivered? Lord Nityananda, that was his mood of service to Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, he would go out, and even those that were not accepted by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda would accept, and he would petition Lord Chaitanya to accept him. And by the power of his devotion to Lord Chaitanya, ultimately Lord Chaitanya would accept him. That is his mood of service to the mission of the Lord. So Lord Nityananda, he is, as we said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is serving in this mood of service to Lord Chaitanya. And here is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is saying that such a merciful personality as Nityananda Prabhu is not to be found anywhere. He suffers a beating from Jagai and Madhai and still gives them love of God. So Lord Nityananda is most merciful. If one actually wants to approach Lord Chaitanya, then he must accept Lord Nityananda. Just like, what is that story of Miniketana Ramdas, right? Miniketana Ramdas is described, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was actually a real dedicated servant of Lord Nityananda. And once he went to the home of, Lord Nityananda's brother. Krishnadas Kaviraj's Goswami's brother. He went there. They were having some kirtan, and Miniketana Ramdas, he was very much absorbed in the mood of Lord Nityananda. Anyone who would see him would get Nityananda's mercy. Anyone who would see him crying with tears of ecstatic love they would immediately actually experience the presence of Lord Nityananda in Miniketana Ramdas. And sometimes he would go and he went to this house of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother, and sometimes he would hit others with his flute, or sometimes he would slap them. Sometimes he would jump on others' shoulders in ecstatic love. And simply by looking in his eyes, people experience such ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord. So there was a pujari, his name was Gunanava Mishra. He was offering artik at that time. And yet, when Miniketana Ramdas was there, the pujari did not offer proper respect. And Miniketana Ramdas was thinking, who is this personality? Why is he not? Doesn't he understand? Does he have sufficient respect for Lord Nityananda? And when, therefore, he spoke to Gunanava Mishra, he said, I think we have here another Romahashan Sutta who did not stand up to offer proper respect in the presence of Lord Balaram. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami could understand that his brother also. He had to go and he approached his brother, because his brother did not have the proper understanding. He did not correct Gunanava Mishra. He explained to them that don't you understand that Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they're like two persons in one body and two bodies. The same person in two bodies, excuse me. They're the same personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who accepts one but doesn't accept the other, then he is simply a fool. He said, better be to be an atheist and not accept both than to be a hypocrite and to accept Lord Chaitanya and not accept Lord Nityananda. So he chastised his brother in this way. And then, it's described that later his brother, actually, I think, he was struck by Miniketana Ramdas and he fell down. And at night, in his dream, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had a dream, and in his dream, Lord Nityananda appeared to him in a splendorous form. He appeared to him and he told him that now you should go to Vrindavan. He got the order. You go to Vrindavan and take shelter in Vrindavan. Everything, you go and everything will be revealed to you in the transcendental realm of Vrindavan. So, Lord Chaitanya considered him to be more dear to him than his life. And Lord Nityananda also considered Lord Chaitanya to be more dear to him. He was such a confidential servant. He knew everything about the heart, in the heart of Lord Chaitanya. It's like the time when Lord Nityananda took the danda. Jagadananda Pandit was holding on the danda that Lord Chaitanya, after he had accepted sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya had entrusted his danda to Jagadananda Pandit. And then Lord Nityananda, he approached Jagadananda Pandit and he took the danda from him and he held it in his hand and he says, he who I carry in my heart should not carry this danda. Why is he carrying this danda? He understood the purpose that Lord Chaitanya, he's not dependent upon any type of external designations. So he took the danda and he broke the danda in three places and he threw it in the river. And later, Lord Chaitanya came to Jagadananda Pandit. He asked him, where is my danda? And Jagadananda Pandit said, Lord Nityananda broke it. Although Lord Nityananda, he told Jagadananda Pandit, when Jagadananda Pandit came to him, he said, what happened? He said, he who carries this danda broke this danda. He understood that actually, Lord Chaitanya, he broke it. He understood the heart. Of course, Lord Chaitanya externally appeared to be very angry, and that is his nature, that sometimes for somebody he loves so dearly, externally he may manifest such anger to him, anger to that person. He did that many times with many personalities. Externally he manifest anger, but actually it was due to deep, deep, deep attachment that he had. So Lord Chaitanya appeared to be angry, but actually he simply accepted that Lord Nityananda had broken the danda, because Lord Nityananda knows everything about Lord Chaitanya. He knows his heart. So, this is the characteristic of Lord Nityananda. And that is what the distinction that exists between, as we said, that Panchatattva Eka vastu nahi kichu bheda rasa asvadite tabu vividavi bheda. That although on the transcendental platform everything is absolute, and spiritually there's no difference between these tattvas, as we explain what the oneness is. The oneness is that they are eka vastu, they are all eternal. They're all transcendental. They're all grounded in reality, in transcendence. And they're eternally existing. So that is their nature. But in order, although they are the absolute, in order to taste this, what is it that one wants to taste? This rasa, this relationship. That one has to make a distinction. One has to see the relationship that exists between all of them. The relationship that exists between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. The relationship that exists between Lord Chaitanya and Advaita Acharya. And Srivas, who is the pure devotee. And Lord Nityananda, as we explained, is the expansion. Lord Chaitanya is the devotee. And Lord Nityananda, he is the expansion of the devotee. As we described, he is an expansion of Lord Chaitanya. Nityananda is an expansion. They are one, simultaneously one, but also different. The impersonalists, they place the emphasis on the oneness. And they don't actually place any emphasis on the difference, but the devotees. They understand that there is oneness, but there is so much variety in the spiritual world, therefore there is always difference. And therefore, in the relationship, in these wonderful pastimes that we'll hear about Lord Nityananda and his service to Lord Chaitanya, we'll hear about how Lord Chaitanya becomes so much bound by that service. That is the nature of the Lord, that the Lord becomes bound by the service attitude of his devotee, and he becomes bound in a loving relationship. That is love. In order to exist love, there has to be a beloved, one who loves and one who is loved, the beloved. Otherwise, where is your question of love? So Lord Chaitanya has great love for Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda has inconceivable love. And therefore he goes out canvassing, telling everybody, please, please just worship Lord Gauranga. Goes into the streets with Haridas Thakur begging everybody, please worship Gauranga. Worship Gauranga. Speak about him. And accept, take his holy name within the core of your heart. And anyone who adores my beloved master, he is more dear to me than my own life. It's described that Nityananda, he would go into the streets and he would awaken faith in others by his method of distribution. This is also described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the bhajan we sang this morning, Dalaliya Gita. How Lord Nityananda would go in the marketplace of the holy name of the Lord. He would go out and he would create faith in the hearts of everyone. How did he create faith? He created faith by his method of distribution. He would fall on the ground. Nobody was exempt. He would tell everybody that you must desire. Even if they didn't desire, they would say, no, you must desire the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. You must take it. And by his method of begging them, falling on the ground with tears on his eyes, rolling all over the ground and crying, he would awaken faith in the hearts of even the most decadent personalities. That faith would be awakened. That was his method of distribution. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that actually in distributing the holy name of the Lord, awakening faith in the holy name of the Lord is required. In the Harinam Chintamani, he explains that he says that the offense to the holy name of the Lord, of preaching the glories of the holy name of the Lord to the faithless, he says it means that one should be very, very careful to not initiate a person who does not have sufficient faith in the holy name of the Lord. One may give the holy name of the Lord to everyone, but before initiating one to the holy name of the Lord, one should awaken faith in their hearts. He says that if one gives the holy name of the Lord to a faithless person, that faithless person will commit so many offenses to the holy name of the Lord. And he gives the example, just like if you put pearls before swine, or if you give a monkey fancy clothes, the monkey will simply tear up the clothes because he doesn't appreciate the great value of the clothes. And if you put pearls before the swine, then he'll simply step on them. Simply, if one initiates one without first awakening faith in the holy name of the Lord, then that person will commit so many offenses. And he describes, what are the characteristics of the person who is faithless? He thinks that I will take this holy name of the Lord, which can purify, the all-purifying agent, and I can commit any sinful activities, and I'll simply chant the holy name of the Lord and purify myself from the sinful activities. And he thinks that also by getting this holy name of the Lord in initiation, then I will get proper respect. And when I get respect, then I can get service from others by obtaining that respect. I can profit from it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's a faithless person. He says such a person will commit so many offenses against the holy name. And the person who initiates without awakening faith, he'll also can be dragged down by those offenses. So he says, therefore, it is the duty of the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement to first preach the glories of the holy name and awaken faith. And that's what a Nityananda would do. Nityananda would awaken faith by his method of distribution. He awakened faith in the heart of Jagai and Madhai. After awakening faith and the mercy of the Lord, then they got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya accepted them, initiated them, accepted all their sinful reactions. This is Lord Nityananda, who is the representative of the spiritual master. We understand that the spiritual master is the representative of Lord Nityananda. Therefore, one must see the spiritual master as that person who actually gives us the foundation by awakening faith in devotional service. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada explains that. In the verse, Shushusho Shrana Dhanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchi, Prabhupada explains in the lecture, he says that I have given you your faith in Krishna. You have faith, but I have given it to you. By his example, by his attachment to Krishna, by his attachment to the holy name, by his faith in the holy name of the Lord, he awakened faith in others. Seeing such a person who has so much faith, who has so much attachment, that gives faith in the hearts of others. So in the same way, the spiritual master, he's meant to be the agent, the representative of Lord Nityananda, who gives spiritual strength and who awakens faith in the process of chanting on the holy name. And Lord Nityananda, he was that agent. He was that servant of Lord Chaitanya. He would go to everyone he would meet, begging. Even the most sinful of sinners, the most degraded outcasts, he would go. Even those persons, offenders, that Lord Chaitanya himself would not deliver, Lord Nityananda, he would pray for their deliverance and accept them and deliver them. And then they would be accepted by Lord Chaitanya. That was his service to Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing here that when your offenses are vanquished, you will obtain the treasure of love of God. But in these names of Chaitanya and Nittai, there is no consideration of offenses. Once you have a taste for the holy name of Krishna, bondage to this world will come to an end. So I don't want to speak too much. There are many other persons who also must speak. I just wanted to speak a little bit about who is this Lord Nityananda. And I'm sure we'll hear so much about him from our illustrious Vaishnavas who are present, who will enlighten us about how merciful a personality Lord Nityananda is. So merciful. Narottam Das Thakur says that, what is it? Nitaya Karuna Habe Braje Radha Krishna Pabe. Right? So merciful. And by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, if he showers his mercy on somebody, then certainly he will be able to get mercy of, will actually be able to obtain Radha and Krishna in Brajavumi by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we should try to take shelter of Lord Nityananda and remember him on this auspicious day. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.
We are very grateful to once again have the divine association of His Holiness Srila Devamrita Swami Maharaj, one of the very fearless senior preachers of our society. Devamrita Maharaj has worked with BBT on Prabhupada's books, was a book distributor himself, and became such an incredible scholar of our philosophy. Previous to becoming a devotee, he was a graduate from Yale University in the United States. And he dovetailed his propensities in scrutinizingly studying Prabhupada's books and sharing that knowledge with others, risking his life with great difficulty. He preached for many years behind the Iron Curtain in the communist countries, established incredible preaching and book distribution, and now is traveling all over the world, enlivening people's hearts with his enthusiasm and compassion. Let us sincerely welcome His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj.
Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito. Everyone who has read at least part of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita knows that verse, or at least knows the extraordinarily beautiful vision that verse speaks of. Let us offer our obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda. They've risen simultaneously like the sun and the moon rising simultaneously. They've appeared. This is a very beautiful literary metaphor presented by Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami. As many of you know, even today, especially in Bengal, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is studied, if not for its spiritual benefit, even mundane people study it for its extraordinary literary beauty and poetry. We're interested in how it is that the sun and the moon can rise simultaneously. Ordinarily, how can that happen? Just try to visualize this in your mind. You wake up one morning and the sun and the moon are there together. All night you've been in the darkness, and then you rise and you open your curtains and look out and you see the sun and the moon there together. This is Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's explanation of an inconceivable thing. How it is that these two have come together. And most of you also know how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that, okay, first you accept the sun and moon have risen together. Then the second thing you have to understand is how the illumination of these two lords spreads. Because generally, illumination shines on things outside. You can see what's around you much more clearly. But the illumination given by these two lords illuminates both without and within. Because of the light they shed, you can see into your heart. Seeing into the heart means seeing those things that are impeding your Krishna consciousness, and also seeing that you are the eternal servant of Krishna, and you see the possibilities for exchanging love of Krishna. You see those possibilities there in your heart. His Holiness Narendra Maharaj was explaining about the one substance as many. It's a very important subject because so many, even persons who have tried to understand Vedic knowledge, they become bewildered how it is things are one, and then again we see so many differences, so much variety. And of course, as the Vaishnavas know, everything is one in that all the varieties belong to the same unit, so to speak. All the varieties are Krishna's. In that way, everything is one. But still, the varieties exist eternally. And as we were hearing Maharaj explain about the Panchatattva, impersonalists like to say everything is one. So what does Krishna do? He says, I'll come as five. Not two, not three, not four. I'll come as five. Now what do you say? Understanding the Panchatattva is so important for us because we can, just by meditating on them, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinoda, just by meditating on them, contemplating them, we understand the spiritual realities by their grace. Three members of the Panchatattva, they're in the Vishnu Tattva category. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Prabhu. Although all three are in the category of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is Mahaprabhu and the others are Prabhu. One is the source of not only part and parcel living entities, but also the source of other personalities of Godhead. So that source of both the part and parcels and the incarnations, avatars, expansions, that is Mahaprabhu. Even Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu feel themselves to be servants of Mahaprabhu. And they exult in that fact. Sometimes Advaita Prabhu would jump up and down exclaiming, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya, I'm the servant of his servant. Nityananda Prabhu and I both are servants of Lord Chaitanya. One interesting transcendental fact explained by Kaviraj Goswami is that the origin of the sentiment of servitude, that sentiment of servitude originates with Lord Balaram. And all the other incarnations, actually including Lord Balaram, they would rather be servants than to be God. In the material world, unfortunate persons who take to spiritual understanding can develop an aspiration that since I have failed as a part and parcel living entity, next thing I should do is to be God, then all my problems are solved. But in the activities of the Panchatattva, we see that God would rather be a devotee. This requires deep thought. What is this bhakta bhava, this emotion of being a devotee, that even the incarnations, expansions of Godhead would rather give up their godhood and come as devotees to taste servitude? These transcendental facts cause us to think deeply on the nature of our existence, both our material and spiritual existence. Why it is that being a servant can sound repulsive, and being the overlord, being the controller, sounds so attractive. This shows the power of Maya, that what is the most desirable, being a servant of God, when thought about from the material plane, seems to be the most undesirable thing. When we are situated in proper understanding through the Krishna conscious process, we see that what materialists hold to be the most lowly actually is the most precious thing. And that most precious thing, to be a servant of the Lord, is what Advaita Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu come to demonstrate. Krishna himself is interested in this. What is it like to be a servant? But Krishna can't do that as Krishna himself. Therefore, he comes as Lord Chaitanya. It's very interesting to see how these three lords interrelate. Often, Nityananda Prabhu demonstrates the role of the topmost avaduta, the topmost transcendental mad person, mad in love of Krishna. This madness happens sometimes during prasad. He and Advaita Prabhu like to get into very interesting discussions while they're honoring prasad. After the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, when all the devotees led by Lord Chaitanya were honoring prasad, suddenly Advaita Prabhu decides to kind of take a poke at Nityananda Prabhu. I do not know what will become of me. I'm sitting next to a person and I'm dining with that person, and I know not what that person's family is, what that person's dynasty is. This is very dangerous. If you're going to be a pukka householder, you must always be aware of who you're eating with, what their social standing is. Of course, Mahaprabhu here, he can overlook these things. He's a sannyasi. According to Vedic injunctions, a sannyasi can eat with anyone, any place, it doesn't matter. But I'm a householder, and I'm seated next to this person, Nityananda, and we have no idea what his family background is. We have no idea what social role he plays. Nityananda Prabhu listened and then decided he'd take his own poke at Advaita Prabhu. Just see, a monist, an impersonalist. Everyone knows that being in contact with an impersonalist ruins your spiritual standing. Actually, Nityananda is praising Advaita Prabhu. You have the right understanding of the spiritual reality. You understand eternal variety, all belonging to Krishna. But he praised him in this way that sounded like he was criticizing him. You're an impersonalist, you're a monist. What will become of us who come in contact? What will happen to our spiritual life by associating with someone like you? In this way, Nityananda Prabhu is also showing that one has to be very careful about associating with impersonalists because of their averse attitude towards the Lord's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. They don't accept the eternal, pure, spiritual variegatedness that Vaishnavas know is the nectar of life. Another time, Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan. He had just taken sannyas, and he thought, I shall go to Braj, and there I shall worship the Lord in a solitary place. So he began to walk on his way to Vrindavan. He was so absorbed in ecstatic love of Krishna that he didn't know actually consciously where he was going or whether it was day or night. You think about these descriptions. How can you go somewhere and not know where you're going and don't even know whether it's day or night? But that was the nature of the ecstatic love of Krishna that Lord Chaitanya was tasting. So Nityananda Acharya Ratna, Chandrasekhar Acharya, and Mukunda, they decided, we'll also go along. So they watched Lord Chaitanya. Cowherd boys were tending their herd as they saw Lord Chaitanya walk by. And the cowherd boys would chant, Hari, Hari. And Lord Chaitanya would be so happy. One exquisite thing about Chaitanya Charitamrita is you can really learn the art of reciprocation. Lord Chaitanya would hear the cowherd boys chanting the holy name of the Lord, and then he would reciprocate by patting them on the head. He would feel very happy they're chanting the Lord's holy name. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu, he's also around. And it's time for him to make some transcendental mischief. So he knows, sooner or later, Lord Chaitanya is going to ask these cowherd boys for the way to Vrindavan. So before he did that, Nityananda Prabhu took the cowherd boys aside and invented a big story. And somehow they motivated them that when Chaitanya, he asks you, where is the way to Vrindavan? You point him in the direction of the Ganges, and I'll take care of everything from there. You just say like that. He convinced them. So sure enough, after some time, Lord Chaitanya asked the cowherd boys, which way to Vrindavan? And they pointed to the Ganges, right here, that's the way. So Lord Chaitanya followed their instruction. And then indeed he saw a river. And he turned to Nityananda Prabhu and said, by the way, how far is it to Vrindavan? And Nityananda Prabhu said, how far is it to Vrindavan? You see the river there? It's the Jamuna. How does this make sense to impersonalists? You have the two lords, and one is beguiling the other. Yes, the Jamuna is right here. Vrindavan is not far. So, Lord Chaitanya, absorbed in his ecstasy, he offered prayers to the Jamuna River. You are so dear to the son of Maharaj Nanda, like that. And then he went into the river to bathe. While he was bathing in the river, something strange happened. Lord Chaitanya looked up, and there was Advaitacharya coming in a boat. This was also part of Nityananda's plan. He had told Acharyaratna, Chandrasekhar Acharya, you go to the house of Advaitacharya and tell him, I'm sending Mahaprabhu his way. Tell him, come out with a rowboat, come out with a boat, and after you do that, then go to Navadvip and tell Sachimat and all the devotees that I'm bringing Lord Chaitanya to the house of Advaitacharya. So all that scamming was done by Nityananda Prabhu. So there's Lord Chaitanya, fully absorbed in ecstatic love of Krishna, bathing in what he thought was the Jamuna River, and he looks up while he's bathing, and Advaitacharya in Vrindavan? At that point, Lord Chaitanya began to wonder, maybe there's something a bit off here, something is not quite right. But still, he was absorbed in ecstasy, so he said to Advaita Prabhu, what are you doing here in Vrindavan? How did you know that I'm in Vrindavan, you're here? And Advaita disclosed the situation. And Lord Chaitanya, what is this? What has Nityananda Prabhu done? Nityananda has cheated me? Advaita Prabhu said, no. Advaita Prabhu, he's coming to the defense of Nityananda. Sometimes he and Nityananda Prabhu have their jousting, verbal jousting, but this time Advaita, he's defending Nityananda. Actually, first of all, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So there's no cheating. Nothing cheating has gone on. And secondly, in this spot right now where you are, in the river, it is the Jamuna, because the Ganges and the Jamuna, they mix way upstream in Prayag. So anyway, still way down here in the Shantipur, Navadvip area, still we can discriminate that on this side of the river it's the Jamuna, because they have mixed far upstream in Prayag. Nityananda Prabhu has not cheated you. Then Advaita Prabhu said, okay, let's go to my house for a little prasad. I only have for you a palmful of rice, some simple liquid vegetables, nothing more, I promise. These are the Supreme Personalities of Godhead interacting. Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya. This is the challenge to monists. How can they understand such? It is not possible. So you know how everyone went to Advaita Prabhu's house, and Advaita Prabhu had such an extraordinary feast prepared. It takes quite a few shlokas in Chaitanya Charitamrita to fully describe all the different feast preparations. So Advaita sits Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya down, catching them by their hands, sit down. And what is the first thing Lord Chaitanya says? He's going to show his difference between Nityananda Prabhu and him. Lord Chaitanya says, so much varieties of food, prasad. A sannyasi never eats like this. So how can I? This is just too much. Advaita Prabhu said, I know the real purpose of what's going on. I understand why you've taken sannyas. I know the confidential reasons. And how can you say you can't eat all this when in Jagannath Puri you eat 54 times a day? How can you comment on this tiny morsel of food, of prasad that I have here? It is nothing. Lord Chaitanya was feeling very cautious. I'm a sannyasi. I can't do that. It's like Niranjan Maharaj is explaining about the breaking of the Danda Leela. Lord Chaitanya wanted to show that one should not artificially present oneself as a Paramahansa. I want to carry my staff. But Nityananda Prabhu is thinking, how is it that Lord Chaitanya needs to conform to these rules? So they had a difference of opinion. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami describes Nityananda Prabhu's defense in that he was saying, while Chaitanya and I were both in ecstasy, we fell upon the danda and it broke. So, the point is, Nityananda Prabhu was thinking, what? These rules and regulations, why does he have to follow that? Lord Chaitanya is thinking, I want to demonstrate the proper path of Dharma. I don't want people artificially declaring themselves as Paramahansas. So the same mentality came back during the big banquet at Advaitacharya's house in Shantipur. Lord Chaitanya is saying, oh, sannyasi shouldn't eat such fancy food. Just give me a little. Advaitacharya solved the problem by saying, just take half of everything that's here. That's all. I'll take care of the rest. But what was Nityananda Prabhu's angle? What's going on here? I've been fasting for 3 days and I was hoping for enough prasad. Now I see there's practically nothing here. For 3 days I've been fasting. Advaitacharya tried to calm the Chananda down. Look, are you just trying to spoil my religious principles? You're a reject Paramahansa who's taken sannyas just to fill your belly. Why are you on my case about the quantity of prasad? You're a mendicant. Sometimes you eat fruits and forest vegetables and whatever you can get. So what right do you have to complain? What was Nityananda Prabhu's reply? Whatever I am, I am. But you invited me, so you have to feed me. So the three lords continued their interaction. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, eating. And every time Lord Chaitanya would finish half of a bowl or cup of a preparation, Advaita would fill it up again. So in this way, this went on and on and on. So much prasad. Still, Nityananda's complaining. I've not had enough. I'm still hungry. I have not had enough. And finally, Nityananda Prabhu, in his transcendental ecstasy, he picks up some rice and he throws it at the floor. And some of the rice clings to Advaitacharya's clothes. And then Advaitacharya begins to dance in ecstasy. I have been touched by Maha Maha Prasad. And that way he's teaching the value of remnants of saintly persons. Nityananda Prabhu is not finished. Nityananda Prabhu says, just see, you are guilty of an offense. You don't understand the power of food that's been offered to the Lord. Here is the only way you can atone. You must invite 100 sannyasis to your home and feed them. Advaita Prabhu said, oh no, no more sannyasis. I've had enough. You've been enough. No more. No, in this way, you see the variegated interaction between the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the source. Yes, Krishna is the original source. But from Krishna comes unlimited variety. Not only unlimited variety as part and parcel living entities, but also unlimited variety as other Supreme Personalities of Godhead. And the interactions between these different categories of Krishna. Krishna as Jiva Tattva, Krishna as Shakti Tattva, Krishna as Vishnu Tattva. These interactions give the devotee such pleasure. Finally, I would like to address the point that sometimes devotees feel hopeless with material desires. Just like on a very hot day, hopelessly hot, the day is hot, the night is hot, the days after will be hot, the nights after will be hot. Sometimes material desires can present themselves in that way. The presence of Lord Nityananda especially gives us more than hope for conquering material desires. Arkabe nitai chande, karana hoibe, samsara vashana mora, kabe tuchahabe. By the power of Lord Nityananda, our material desires can become insignificant. Insignificant means, like if a fly lands on your arm, you don't think it's the end of the world. It lands and you move your hand a little bit and the fly goes away. Similarly, Lord Nityananda's potency is made available to us for diminishing our material desires so we can better approach Lord Chaitanya. It is possible. The impossible becomes possible when one takes shelter of Lord Nityananda. Therefore, everyone knows the famous song, Nittai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala. The soothing moonlight refreshes you. Similarly, when we've been scorched by the blazing sun of material desires, the soothing moonlight of Lord Nityananda's lotus feet chases away all the pain of burning in the fire of material desires. It is possible, and Lord Nityananda's appearance day is a wonderful day to beg for that wonderful benediction that our material desires become insignificant. Then it's much easier to approach Sri Krishna Chaitanya.